Well, the Lord must have a very strong message for someone today, because it seems like the theme is he's got you covered. Amen? And that's kind of what our, it is what our passage is about today in Psalm 112 and verse 8. And we've been studying all the things that are happening to the person who is fearing the Lord and delighting in his commands. And we talked about that, what does this have to do with tithes and offerings? What has everything to do with tithes and offerings? Because if he isn't Lord of your money, he isn't Lord of your life. Amen? Bible clearly states you cannot serve two masters, God and money. It doesn't work. So if you're serving the Lord and you're serving him wholeheartedly, then you're going to be a tither or a giver. Somebody say amen. Amen. So last week he talked about that we would never be shaken. Remember that? We're standing on the rock. Well, this is kind of just, I mean, it's like a partner with last week's. And it says this, their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. I don't know about you, but that's pretty exciting. And it must be important that you know that you don't have to fear and that he's got you covered, because he repeats it twice. He says you don't have to fear with bad news. Remember that? And then he says their hearts are secure. Your heart is your inner man, your will, your thoughts, your understanding. So basically who you are, your makeup. Your heart is secure. Another word for that is assured, to lean upon, take hold of, sustained, steadfast, resting in the Lord. We are secure. They will have no fear. You will not be frightened and you will not be fearful. And then in one translation it says, until he looks in triumph. And until means up until, as far as, up to. In this translation, I liked what it said in the New International. It says, in the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. So you already know the end, right? We already know what the rest of the book says, and it says, we win. Somebody say, we win. But the part I want to focus on today that I felt so drawn to was like the last part of that song. I will build my life on him. He is the sure foundation, right? That's how the song goes. And it says, their hearts are secure. You are steadfast. You're resting in the Lord. So it doesn't matter what's going on around you. Again, there's this picture that their hearts are secure. When you think about security, I think about a security box at a bank. What do people put inside there? Valuables, things that are important to them, right? And because they're in that security box, do people have fear that it's going to get broken into? No. They're rest assured. It's in a vault, behind bars most of the time, locked in. You know, only a couple people know the combination, so there is basically no fear that something's going to happen to that. Well, guess what? Today, you have a better security box than anything the world could ever come up with. So whatever is valuable to you, you place that into that box, and you can rest assured that God's got this. Now, it's not an actual box, but you know what? God gives us imaginations for a reason. The world says it's for bad, but you know what? I say it's for good. So what you can do when there's moments when you start to panic, you start to feel like you've stepped out of that assurance, you don't feel secure anymore, you know what you do? You sit down, you close your eyes, and you visualize. And you say, okay, Lord, this thing is weighing on me, and it shouldn't be. So I'm giving this, and you see yourself putting it into a box that's left with Jesus. And he says this to you, I got this. I got this. Just like the idea of the blanket, that you're covered, you are secure. He's got you. Amen? So you don't have to fear. Two times the Lord said this. I learned in Bible college that when the Lord repeats himself in a different way but with the same message, it's pay attention time. Heads up. You need to listen to this. You don't have to fear. Somebody say, I will not fear anymore. I will not fear anymore. One more time. I will not fear anymore because you are secure. Your things are secure. Your kids are secure. Your family is secure. Your finances are secure. Your health is secure. When we were singing through that song and it says, open up my eyes that I can see, that's what the Lord's been doing for me this week. So often we only see this part of the world where we pray and things happen, where we believe and mountains are moved. Breakthroughs happen. There's praise reports. But can I tell you this? Not the rest of the world. Not even the rest of the church body is seeing what you see. And a lot of times it becomes commonplace in your life, and you overlook the magnitude of what God has done. Stop and think for a minute. What has God done for you? What has God done for you? Wow. 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 It's really, really moving. And that's what the Lord has done for me this week, is shown me, opened up my eyes to see what other people live like and what sometimes we take for granted. We don't want to take things for granted. We want to be grateful. We want to be thankful for all that God has done. It's been an emotional time for me since beginning before Thanksgiving, when we've been talking about all the things that we're grateful for. I always wanted a big family, but Steve and I got married a little later in life, and I just wanted more and more kids, and the Lord blessed me with so many nieces and nephews to be able to keep that mothering part going. And I'm not going to try to embarrass you, Ella, but I'm so grateful for Ella and Everly. They came at a point in my life where I wasn't done being a mom. I wasn't done taking care. And the Lord blessed me. Rose and Randy let me take care of their kids and to help them. And I love them both. They're both so precious to me. But so often we just overlook things and we forget what God has done. We forget the miracles that He's blessed our lives with. Don't do that. Don't do that. When you start looking at all that God has done, you begin to realize He can take care of the future. If He's provided in the past, He'll continue to provide for you in the future. If He's given you your heart's desire, He will continue to give you your heart's desire. If He's protected you in the past, He will continue. Do you see what I'm saying? It's a powerful thing to have your heart resting secure in the Lord. Because things can't touch you, because you know God's got this. God's got this. As you bring your tithes and offerings this morning, I want you, as you put it into the offering, I literally want you to say this: God's got my finances. God's got my finances. As you put it in there, because it's a declaration, it's something that we pray over you guys every year at Christmas. You are not going to be in the red by the time 2022 comes around. I'm believing we're going to have more than enough to cover everything in our accounts. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because when you say amen, you're saying, so be it in my life. So be it in my life. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, I just thank you so much for your word today. Powerful. Your word is powerful, Father, and it changes things. And I pray today, if anyone's hearts are not secure in this room, if anyone's hearts are not assured, then, Father, I pray that they would run back to you, that they would come into your presence and they would give you the things that are causing them to be fearful, that they would remind themselves that if they place that in you, it is secure, more secure than a security box in a bank, and that they would rest in your presence, Father, knowing that in the end, they are triumphing. We already know the results. We win. Jesus took care of it. We win. And that's what I pray that you'd remind every person in this room today. They win in Jesus' name. We thank you for blessing every seed that's sown, blessing the givers. Multiply 100-fold back in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you for this wonderful Christmas time, this wonderful season, God, of faith and family and freedom and just all the blessings, Lord, remembering, as Shelley was sharing, pouring all the things that you've poured out in our lives and continue to pour out, Lord, and using us to pour out to others, God, it's such a joy. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Just, you know, remembering again the goodness, like 500 plus pounds of food that you all brought in for the Fish Food Bank what was the other thing that we did?
Toys.
The toys, thank you. Yeah, like 200 and some toys that were donated and just bringing joy to people. That's what the church ought to be doing, right? Praise God. It's good to be doing what the church ought to be doing. Well, today we're going to continue on this message entitled His Glorious Appearing. Amen? And I just really felt stirred all year long to focus on the mercy of God, fighting the fight of faith, and the glory of God, kind of a threefold, you know, theme for the year. And this phrase, His Glorious Appearing, just seemed like the appropriate title for this season right now, right? And I kind of like it because it almost sounds like you're saying, His glory is appearing. Amen? Let's all say that out loud three times. His glory is appearing. His glory is appearing. His glory is appearing. Glory to God forevermore. And don't you know we need it too? Right? Amen? We need God's glory to appear about now. Hallelujah. That's why we appeared in church this morning, right? Because we're looking for the glory of God. And we want to be instruments that He can use to bring His glory. It's one of the words the Lord gave me, you know, when I was in, I don't know, late teens, early 20s. He said, "You're my instrument." I didn't know what that meant. Right, but I've seen it in a number of different ways that He's manifested that in my life, in terms of like a surgical tool, you know, or in terms of a musical instrument or an instrument of war, right? And just that's what the church needs to be in God's hand, is an instrument that He can use, right, to bring people in to Himself, to drive the devil out, right? Bring His word to people, amen, and just have fun doing it, right? Amen. There's one, I love one of the, what's the cowboy's name on the Victory Network again, Luke? Brother Butch Burton on the Victory Network, and he always ends his, he's just out, he's like, he has a church on his ranch, I think. Everyone just comes to the barn, and he has his little broadcast that he does. And he's just teaching the word. And then he always ends it with, "If you're not having fun serving Jesus, you're doing it wrong." Right? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But our foundation text is Titus chapter 2, verse 13. And I want to start with reading verses 11 through 14. And it says this, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Now, let me just ask you this. When it says the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, who does that exclude? Somebody say, no one, right? The same grace that brought the same salvation that you accepted is available to everybody who will accept it, right? Now, of course, not everyone has accepted it. That's why, you know, we're on planet Earth today having church and preaching the word and supporting the preaching of the word around the world, is because there's a lot of people out there that still need to receive Jesus, right? And that's why we just keep it going. While we keep ourselves encouraged, we're also sharing his good news with other people. And sometimes that just means that people around you are watching your life, right? It's not just you preaching a sermon everywhere you go. Now, there's time and place for sharing a word with someone. But sometimes it's just watching you and your family, or how you respond under stress, and that just sheds light on people. And they're like, man, whatever they got, I need some of that. Right? Somebody say Christians ought to be different, ought to respond differently to pressures of the world and issues that are going on. We don't respond in fear. We don't respond in anger and rage and, you know, cursing and, you know, we don't go out and live immoral lives or just, you know, live in fear or worry or, you know, strife and all these kind of things. These are things that the world is being affected by. But the church, we ought to understand that, you know what? I don't have to be ruled by those things anymore, right? Because I don't serve the God of this world, which is the devil. I serve Jesus. Amen? So the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. So the glory of God, one of the main priorities of the glory of God is to teach me. Not just to put on a show. Not just to be wow. Not just to wow me. But to teach me. This is one of the great things about the Christmas story is when Jesus... when the glory of God literally appeared to the world in a manger, right? And he grew up, and not a lot of people didn't recognize him as the Messiah. But what did he do all the time, all the time, all the time? Teach, preach, heal. Teach, preach, heal. Teach, preach, heal. Another town, teach, preach, heal. Another town, teach, preach, heal. The synagogue, teach, preach, heal. Up in the mountains, teach, preach, heal, right? Amen. Praise God. Now, there were some wow moments. It's all wow moments, really, around Jesus, right? But, man, there were moments where he came walking on the water. Wow. Right? The moment on the transfiguration when he led this Peter, James, and John up the mountain, and all of a sudden his clothes became white, and Moses and Elijah were there, and they were talking with... that's a wow moment. I mean, that's the glory of God manifesting. And a lot of times when we think of the glory of God... we think of just bright lights and just angels showing up and, you know, and praise God, that's there, that's biblical. But there's a daily glory that we need to be embracing and looking for every day. Lord, teach me something today, right? Give me some light on the inside, right? So teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, and I was reminded this morning that one of the definitions for lust is just the pressures of life, right? We deny the pressures of this world. You know what, world? You can have the pressure. I'm living for Jesus, right? Amen? We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Now, this was written, obviously, a couple thousand years ago, but it still applies to 2021, right? Because to God, 2021 is just a couple days later after this was written, right? if to God a day is 1,000 years, right? So we live godly in this present age. So that's why we come to church. That's why we study the Word. That's why we listen to preaching, because we need to be reminded what living godly is. And I believe that's, you know, some of the theme for 2022 for us is talking about kingdom culture, right? Because there is a culture of the world that is really trying to influence the church. And it has no place in the church. Now, the church is open for everybody. But the belief and value system of the world is not. Right? Amen. The church ought to be different. Church is where people come to get saved, come to live for Jesus. Amen? Come to worship God and worship Him with their tithes and offerings, to serve God, to fellowship among other believers. It's not a place to come bring my belief systems and my value systems and my sins and just establish that in the church. Somebody say no. This is God's house, God's kingdom, right? So we can, by the power of the glory of God, we can live godly now, in this present age. And that doesn't mean that I never make a mistake or never have to repent of any sins or anything like that, but your heart is with Jesus, right? Your heart is for Him. Amen? And then verse 13, this is our key verse, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Somebody say, I'm looking for Him. I'm looking for Jesus' glory to appear every day. Now, of course, in these days, they were looking for the manifestation of the Messiah to be born, and he was. And where we're at now, we're looking for his return. Praise God. This is biblical, right? Watching for being prepared and ready for the return of Jesus, for the rapture of the church. Amen. Planning like he's not coming back in our lifetime, but living like he could come back before we say amen today. Right? Amen. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. We're about doing the works of God in this world. And again, like the Lord showed us last week, we don't do good works and good deeds and be a blessing in order to be saved. We do good works and you know, good deeds and charitable giving and be courteous and kind to people because we are saved. Now, that's a big difference, right? Amen. There's nothing I could ever do to earn my salvation from God. I just receive it by faith. And then we live for him out of a heart of thanksgiving and worship. Hallelujah. But the word glorious means words like very apparent. Amen. It means words like honor, praise, worship. Hallelujah. Don't you love those times in your life where it is very apparent that God showed up and did something? Right? And I'll tell you what, when you're around unbelievers and people that aren't saved and people that are living like the world, it ought to be very apparent that we're different. Right? In other words, I'm not going to be a chameleon Christian that I just act like them when I'm around them. No, no. You take your faith wherever you go. Your faith takes you wherever you go. Amen? Praise the Lord. And then we honor and praise and worship God. Man, that just fosters an atmosphere of glory in our houses, in our homes, right? Keeping our houses clean spiritually, even naturally. Sometimes it's just good and go through and declutter. I need to do this from time to time, go through all my stuff. It just starts giving me a cluttered mind and a cluttered spirit, right? And just carve out time and space every day to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. This really isn't, you know, rocket science, amen? And the word appearing means things like a manifestation, the advent of Christ, past or future, and the word brightness. You know, love this time of the year, love all the Christmas lights and everything around town. It's just a beautiful season that reminds us the light of God, right? And even this week, in Judaism is Hanukkah, right? And Hanukkah is a symbolic representation of Jesus also. In fact, there's scriptures that talk about Jesus celebrating the winter feast, which is Hanukkah. Hanukkah happened between Malachi and Matthew. Google it, search it out, do a little research on it. It's really interesting, right? The miraculous burning of the candles in the temple and just another supernatural deliverance of God's people. It was a manifestation of the glory of God. Hallelujah. So these are great things to remember. Hallelujah. But we want to look at a couple verses today in terms of, everybody say, the glory's coming, right? These are good things to be confessing over our own lives, right? And then we can say the glory's here, right? The glory's coming. I read a scripture this morning in Hosea chapter 6, verse 3. That's where I'm at in my Bible reading right now. And it said this, let us press on to know the Lord. His appearance, everybody say appearance, is as sure as the dawn, right? He will come to us. And again, a lot of times when I see us right now, I see U.S. And a lot of scriptures right now, but it says, his appearance is as sure as the dawn. He will come to the U.S., and he's gonna help fix some things. Amen. Don't you know we need his help, right? Hallelujah. And we don't freak out while we're waiting for him. We wait on him. We keep praying. We keep pressing. We We keep participating and voting, and, you know, as far as our nation is concerned, stay in the word, right? Amen. I don't hate President Biden. I don't get into cursing President Biden or Vice President Harris or Speaker of the House Pelosi, right? Or Governor Newsom or Governor Brown or Governor Inslee or anybody that's in the blue category, right? No, we pray for them, right? We pray for our leaders and we honor them as our leaders. You know, the book of Daniel is a great example of how to live in an environment that is ungodly, honor the leaders, and yet not dishonor God. You can be done, right? Amen? I keep bragging on my son Luke because he's got a Bible club at his school, and he had like 12 kids come this past week, and I'm just going to brag on him, Luke. He said, you know, guys, I've been reading the book of Daniel lately, and like three guys influenced the whole nation. There's 12 of us and one school. You think we could make a difference? Go Luke, right? I mean, that's awesome, right? So we don't come at the leaders in terms of disrespecting them. I don't believe, a lot of them, I don't believe a word is coming out of their mouth. A lot of them, I think someone's putting those words in their mouth, right? So what do? We pray for them. Jesus, help President Biden. Jesus, help Vice President Harris. Jesus, help Speaker of the House Pelosi and all the governors and representatives and mayors and legislators and school boards and covering them. But yet we don't change in our stance on the word, right? Because God's word, honoring God's word, is what brings life. Dishonoring God's word brings death. Right? So no, it's not that we don't hate people that, you know, preach the rainbow or preach abortion or all these, you know, things that the Bible clear. We just say, you know what, I'm not going to support you in that because I clearly see that that type of lifestyle brings death. And I prefer to live, right? And I would prefer that this nation lives, right? And I would prefer that children are not sexualized, okay? This is nutty stuff, man. It's going on in the world, right? The devil just keeps taking it down a notch and down a notch and down a notch. So as the church, we stay in faith. Amen? And we're seeing wonderful things happen. That's why scripture's like this. His appearance is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us. He will come to the U.S. Amen? Praise the Lord forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. I got about 10 minutes to preach here, right? Or so. Isaiah 7, 14 says this, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Glory to God forevermore. And this is, you know, hundreds of years before Jesus is born. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Glory to God. You know, I just think of even like driving through Portland, right? It's so cool that I drive through Portland and, you know, I was following a street cleaner. And I thought, hey, they really are interested in cleaning up. Find something to praise God for, right? Hallelujah. Right? And they have a Christmas tree. They still have a Christmas tree in Portland. There's Christmas lights. There's the grotto over there, you know, and these kind of things. So we find things to praise God about. Rather than just gripe, 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 oh, it's all going to hell in a handbasket. No, we don't say that kind of stuff. Man, believe me, when I say this, it could be worse. It could be worse. Amen? So we just keep pressing and believing God, right? And this, you know, I know we're focusing on some of these things in our nation and stuff, which we should be, but remember, God is so big. God is so big. He can handle all the problems of the world and bring you a golden retriever puppy. I saw this happen this week. Right? In fact, they're getting two. Larry, my father-in-law, when my wife was younger and everything, he got, there was a season in their life where he got one for hunting and one for the household. And it just so happened this very week, that's exactly what's happening in their life again. Nothing they really planned. They just were thinking about it. And just boom, boom, two golden retrievers, one in Hillsboro. They're picking up today for hunting. And the one up towards Seattle, right off the showroom floor at the mall, that they picked up for Sherry Lynn yesterday. And he can also fix the nation. Amen. So all that to say, whatever is going on in your life, be looking for the glory of God to manifest. Because he's that big. And he loves me that much to fix my nation and my dishwasher. That's something we're going through right now. Amen. A couple brand new appliances that decided that they didn't want to be useful anymore. And they're being fixed. Hallelujah, right? We got a big, 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 big God. Hallelujah. But I wanted to look at today, as we close up, Matthew chapter 1. Last week we talked about, somebody say the glory's here, by the way. The glory's here. The glory's, Isaiah was saying, the glory's coming, right? And then guess what? Right here, this story on the wall, he was born. Somebody say he's here. He paid the price and died and was resurrected and sent us the Holy Ghost and all the gifts of the Spirit. And guess what? He's coming back. But he's here now too, isn't he? The Holy Ghost is here right now. We shouldn't ever forget about the Holy Spirit who's here with us right now. Right? The third person of the Godhead in the house now. God the Father, God the Son, there, you know, he's everywhere, he's here, but the Spirit of God is the one he sent as the counselor, the comforter, right? The encourager, the one to fill us up with the power of God. But I want you to look at Matthew chapter 1. I want you to see the glory as seen by Jesus' stepfather, Joseph, right? And I want to read these verses to you. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And it says this, now the birth of Jesus Christ. Now that right there, we should just stop and say, hallelujah, right? The birth of Jesus Christ means his appearing, right? Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Man, the Lord has been, you know, giving me different insights that I haven't normally seen before reading through these things. Maybe you have, right? But Mary was, she's such a hero of the faith. To think about what she said yes to that put her own life in danger, literally, right? And the angel didn't go and ask Joseph first. Mary accepted this divine assignment first, regardless of what her espoused husband might think, right? Or her family. And I started thinking about Mary again. It's like, you know what? God gave her somebody who could identify with what she was going through, right? Her cousin Elizabeth. Isn't it cool when God gives you one or two people that get it? Now, that's what church is about. There should be more than one or two of us. But people that understand what you're believing for, understand what you're going through. No one else could possibly even understand it. But they do. Isn't that a blessing from God? The angel told her, right? He's like, you know what? I'm paraphrasing. Not too many people are going to understand this. But Elizabeth, your cousin, you ought to go hang out with her for a few months. Right? Amen. And praise God, her husband got it. Oh, that's a miracle in itself. Because a lot of times it takes God a few tries to get through to us guys. Amen. Especially in this time period, right? Okay, let's read on. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, which meant what? This could not possibly be Joseph's son. Right? She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. See, Joseph still wanted to cover her. He wanted to protect her. This marriage is not happening, but I don't want to put her to shame. I don't want to have her killed and nothing like that. The grace of God was all over this man. Even when he assumed the worst, right? What a stand-up guy, right? And then verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God forevermore. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call him. Now, the angel says, you shall call him, right? Joseph's job was to name him. Right? When you think about that, right? She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Joseph, he needed to deal with this terrible, awful news that he had just gotten, right? And I was thinking today that there's a couple times in my life that I can relate to feeling this kind of pressure. Not this kind of pressure, but it was related to girls. Some girl problem. Someone I was dating at the time or thought I was supposed to get with or be with. And it just stressed me out a couple of times to the point where I just needed to go take a nap. I was just stressed out about it. And I had to literally... two times where the Lord came to me in a dream. I was so stressed out and distraught about this. And both times, one time I had this terrible headache, and the Lord came to me. I'm in a dream, like in the middle of the day, where I kind of felt like I was half asleep, half awake. And all of a sudden there was this bright light, and I felt his hands on my temples and on my eyes and on his temples and on my eyes, and I woke up and the headache was gone. Another time I was in college relating to a different girl. Oh, how we change. Then I thought, that's got to be the one. No, it wasn't the one. I was stressed out about it, went to my dorm room, crashed out in a bunk, just went to sleep on my bunk bed, top bunk, and I felt myself in my sleep starting to get pulled off the edge of the bunk. And I'm trying to wake myself up, and I hear in my spirit, I hear, trust me. Trust me. So I just relaxed. I felt myself come off the bunk and float like a feather down to the floor, and I felt the floor under me, and I woke up, and I was still on the bunk. Both those times, and I can think of other situations too, it doesn't happen every day, all right? But I needed a word from God, and the word was always, trust me. Whenever I've had these supernatural, you know, manifestations of the glory of God like this in a dream, that was usually those two words, Steve, trust me. Boy, am I glad I waited, because Shelly was coming. The glory was coming. Amen. And I chose to trust him and just carry on. Those situations didn't change, but it didn't change me. And it didn't change my faith, right? In a similar way, this is what Joseph had to deal with. This girl is stressing me out. I don't want anything to do with this. What do I do? Went to sleep, an angel comes and says, trust me on this. Right? He woke up with a new determination. Wow, what a liberating feeling that must have been to Joseph to wake up. And to be a man about it, right? Praise God for men of God that just don't run at the first sign of pressure. Amen? I got to play Joseph in a couple of Christmas musicals back at New Beginnings. And one of the girls that played Mary one year, she was pregnant, and she was having morning sickness, and we were about to go on stage, and her nose was bleeding. So I just naturally kind of held her in here between the audience, and I kind of walked her over to the through the scene and everything. But it was just kind of in you to protect, right? And I was like, hey, I kind of get what maybe Joseph was feeling at that moment, right? He's like, you know what? My job is to protect her and get her to where we need to go. She's carrying this huge burden, this not a burden, but you know, the blessing of God, this vision of God, this Messiah, right? We don't all understand what this means, but we know it's been prophesied for years and years and years and years, and she's the chosen one, and I'm going to make sure this package is delivered, right? And so he got her through it. Boy, what a relief that must have been for her to get that text message, right? To hear Joseph heard from God, and he's in it with me now. Wow. Isn't that glorious? So here's two people that got it, what she was about to do. And praise God for Joseph, who manned up, man. He didn't run from the issue. I don't want anything to do with this. There's other fish in the sea. Isn't that awesome? Amen. So Joseph heard, he had the dream, he had that visitation from God, and he responded in the right way. He didn't have to. The angel didn't tell him, hey, listen, not like the mafia, right? You do this or... No, he had a choice. Amen. So all this was done, verse 20, 22, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And they would have known about that verse. So at that point, they just chose to stand on the word, the word, the word. Right? Amen. And Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had been brought forth, her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Glory to God. Somebody say, the glory's here. The glory is here. Hallelujah. Well, we'll pick it up next week on the next portion there, but why don't we all stand up on our feet? We're going to roll into some party time here shortly. But let's just praise God for his word. Jesus, we thank you for your word to us today. We thank you, Lord, for the great example of people of faith like this over the years, God, that chose to accept their divine assignment, their divine purpose, and just keep on going with Jesus. And Lord, we say yes to you too. We just say yes to you too, Father. Whatever you would call us to do, wherever you'd call us to go, whatever you'd ask us to say, we say yes, Lord. Use us, Lord, to point people to Jesus in every area of our life. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen.